Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
We will restore science to its rightful place and wield technology's wonders to raise healthcare's quality and lower its costs.
That's President Barack Obama in his inauguration speech talking about the place of science, or at least what he believes the place of science has been in the past to where he'd like to see it go in the future. For the next few minutes of Issues Etc., Dr. Robert George is our guest. We're going to discuss with him several issues, including science and the Obama administration, the reversal of the Mexico City policy, and the legal battle over gay marriage in California. Dr. Robert George is professor of jurisprudence and director of the James Madison Program in American Ideals and Institutions at Princeton University in Princeton, New Jersey. He serves as a member of the President's Council on Bioethics, and he is author of several books, including Embryo, A Defense of Human Life. Dr. George, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be on the show again.
What do you think of President Obama means when he talks about restoring science to its rightful place?
Well, I was very disappointed by what President Obama said there. Of course, there is a rightful place for science, and science should never be denigrated or removed from its rightful place. We all benefit from science, particularly biomedical science. But what President Obama was signaling there was the idea, which I believe is reprehensible, that science should be liberated from ethical limits of the sort that were imposed on it during the Bush administration, when President Bush, in an act, I think, of great courage and wisdom, prohibited the use of federal funds for research involving the deliberate destruction of embryonic human beings in the embryonic stage of development. If we begin killing human beings at any stage, from the embryonic stage into the fetal or infant stages all the way to the natural death of the human being, we will have compromised the very foundations of biomedical science. We will have fallen into the idea that it's justified to kill in the cause of healing, and that's a very bad idea. So I was very disappointed in President Obama's statement. It was unfair to the Bush administration, which in its embryonic stem cell research policy did not remove science from its rightful place, but rather ensured that science remained within ethical limits so that science can be the servant of man, not his master.
So what do you think we can expect from the Obama administration in the area of science and research if he is in fact going to liberate science from those ethical boundaries?
Well, what we can expect is something very worrying. It's the idea that scientists would be freed from limitations based on ethical considerations to conduct whatever lines of research they're prepared to tell the public could result in cures for diseases and increased health and the mitigation of suffering. We have already seen, Todd, and I have documented this in my own writings, many others have as well, we have already seen grossly exaggerated claims being made for various lines of research, including embryonic stem cell research, grossly exaggerated claims that have been made in the hope of winning political victories, gaining increased funding for research. And these exaggerations, this kind of hyping of the research beyond anything that's rationally warranted, elevates the hopes of vulnerable and suffering people and their families and creates false expectations and false hopes, and frankly, it's cruel.
Were you encouraged at all when President Obama told the House GOP leaders that he was willing to take some of the family planning funding out of the economic stimulus package?
Well, Nancy Pelosi had stepped on a snake when she made the claim that that the family planning money, the contraception money that they had in the original stimulus package, was there as a way of saving money. In other words, she was implying that people are the problem, and that if we can just have fewer people, then we'll save more money. That's ethically, of course, a very bad idea. But even laying aside the ethical considerations, if we just look at the demographic collapse in Europe, we realize that the real economic danger is not that we have too many people, it's that we have too few. And we could be in that same soup in the United States, especially with respect to our Social Security system, if we went down the Europeanized road that Speaker Pelosi seems to have in mind and that all too often President Obama seems to have in mind. It was a matter that got bad publicity for Pelosi and for the Democrats, and it was politically wise of President Obama to staunch the wound and get that issue off the table, and that's what he did. Frankly, I don't think that it was a matter of conviction with him. In fact, I'm certain it wasn't a matter of conviction with him. It was pure politics. It was good politics, and in this case, it also happened to be the right thing.
Your thoughts on President Obama's reversal of the Mexico City policy?
Another issue in which I'm profoundly disappointed in the president. It's not as if he didn't tell us he was going to do these things. He did. He promised his left-wing base that he would remove Bush administration pro-life policies, and he is carrying through on that promise. Who knows when he'll actually get troops out of Iraq. He has now signaled that he's going to expand troop strength in Afghanistan. So he is not giving the left what they want, certainly not all that they want when it comes to foreign policy. Even in some areas of domestic policy, such as taxes, he's not delivering the tax increases that he promised to the left. So the question is, what does the left get? And the answer is the promises that will be kept. What the left will get are the cultural and moral issues, especially pro-life issues. Mexico City, that policy was originally a Reagan administration policy that President Bush restored after Clinton removed it, which protects you and me, taxpayers, American citizens of pro-life conviction, from being forced to contribute through our tax dollars to the promotion of abortion abroad, the killing of unborn human beings abroad. And now President Obama has revoked that policy, which means that each of us works a little bit every day for money that ends up in the hands of the government to be sent to Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers and abortion promoters so that they can sell the idea abroad that people ought to be killing their unborn babies. It's a very, very bad thing that President Obama's done, and he really does need to be held accountable for it.
Okay, he promised to sign the Freedom of Choice Act. What do you think the chances are that he's going to get the opportunity, and that if given the opportunity, he will be willing to follow through on that promise?
Of course, that's the nuclear bomb. The Freedom of Choice Act, for your listeners, is an act that's been proposed by radical pro-abortion members of Congress that, if enacted, would essentially obliterate all pro-life protections that have been put in place at the state and federal level, protections against being forced to fund abortions with our taxpayer dollars here at home, the so-called Hyde Amendment, protections for parents and girls that require notification of parents when abortions are going to be performed on minor girls, laws that protect the religious liberty and conscience rights of physicians and nurses and healthcare workers who don't wish to be forced to participate in abortions or refer to abortions and so forth. Those would be wiped out by the Freedom of Choice Act. And you're right, Obama did promise that he would sign the act. He said that he would make that the first thing that he did. Now, he hasn't been able to make it the first thing that he did because it hasn't passed the Congress. I think that the more sober Democrats, and probably President Obama himself now that he has to face the political realities, realize that to try to pass the act as a unified measure would be politically disastrous. So I don't expect them, this is just my prediction, I could be wrong, but I don't expect them to actually put forward FOCA as a package. I think instead they'll work one by one, introducing bills that will get far less publicity, that will one by one accomplish what the individual provisions of FOCA were designed to accomplish. For example, revoking the Hyde Amendment that protects us from being forced to pay for abortions domestically. Now, by the way, the abortion lobby and industry itself tells us how many lives are saved by the Hyde Amendment. Their estimate is that 300,000 abortions a year that would take place with federal funding don't take place because of the Hyde Amendment. Now, they lament that fact. They think that there are all these women who need abortions aren't getting them because the federal government isn't paying for them. From our point of view, those are 300,000 lives that are saved. So if President Obama and Speaker Pelosi and their allies in the Congress do succeed in revoking the Hyde Amendment, that will increase the number of abortions. The abortion lobby tells us by about 300,000.
Then with
a lot of dead babies.
Well, with only about a minute then, how do you think the California Supreme Court will rule on Prop 8? Only a minute, Dr. George.
Again, I'm predicting I could be wrong, but it looks to me like they're actually going to uphold Prop 8, despite the fact that Prop 8 overturns a previous decision of theirs. They had an opportunity to stop Prop 8 from going forward. They declined to do it. It would look very bad for them now if having let it go forward and they lose to then nullify it. It would be a gross usurpation of the authority of the people to establish the terms of their own constitutions. So if I were predicting, I'd say it looks pretty good and that the court will probably step aside and let Prop 8 stay in place.
Well, there's some good news.
That is good news. But again, I could be wrong about it. Who knows?
Dr. Robert George is professor of jurisprudence and director of the James Madison Program in American Ideals and Institutions at Princeton University in Princeton, New Jersey. He serves as a member of the President's Council on Bioethics, and he's author of several books, including Embryo, A Defense of Human Life. You can find out more about Embryo, A Defense of Human Life on demand at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Dr. George, thank you again for your time and for being our guest on Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Pleasure.
When we come back, we'll continue our series on biblical examples of preaching. Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus' parables and his denunciation of his opponents, particularly the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law. You don't get a lot of that kind of preaching nowadays. Not a lot of preachers spinning parables, not a lot of preachers denouncing the opponents of the gospel. Maybe we should have more. Jesus spent an awful lot of time when he preached doing just that. We'll talk with Dr. Carl Fikencher about Jesus' parables after this.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.